With the consistency of a Hank Aaron or a Babe Ruth, Renee Fleming hits operatic high notes out of the ballpark. Her extraordinary voice has earned her worldwide fame on and off the opera stage. But while this soprano is at the top of her game in the classical music world, her imagination and curiosity have now led her down a very different and unexpected musical path. Hi, I'm John Schaefer. Stay with us as Renee Fleming shares her love of jazz and popular song in an hour of conversation and live performance. This is a special edition of Soundcheck, The Heart of Song, Renee Fleming with Fred Hirsch, a collaboration of WNYC Radio and Chart Media. Renee, Fred, we're glad to have you both in our studio today for this special national broadcast. And Renee, let me start with an obvious first question. Why jazz? Does this music do something for you that opera doesn't?
Well, I wouldn't put it that way, but I do have a long history with jazz. In fact, I started as a jazz singer when I was a student, and that was my first love, let's put it that way. I mean, classical music had always been a part of my life, but I've continued to be an enormous fan. I've listened to singers and instrumentalists my whole adult life, and so it's been a fabulous opportunity to go back to my roots.
Well, now, there was this article about you in which you were described as, quote, the diva next door. I mean, is this the music that you sing at home?
It's certainly the music I listen to at home. I mean, the last thing I want to do when I'm off is sing, to be honest. You know, every once in a while, like, the spirit moves me, you know, in the shower, just like with everybody else. And besides, the shower is a great place to warm up.
Mm-hmm.
But I listen a lot to other kinds of music, and not just jazz, but I love bluegrass. I love folk music. I love R&B. I mean, I have very eclectic tastes in music.
Right. So there, we've seen lots and heard lots of opera singers in the past doing spirituals and jazz standards mm-hmm. and pop songs. And it always has, to me at least, has had a kind of, you know, it's almost as if these people are kind of slumming a little bit. That doesn't seem to be the case here. This really seems to be...
Well, somebody,
your music.
Somebody told me the other night that Eileen Farrell made a recording in a club somewhere, and it was titled Diva in a Dive. You know? So, yeah, perfect example of that. And she could really sing. I mean,
yeah.
She could belt. It was a different kind of singing than I like to do, but it was brilliant. So I don't think that's really fair, because how I characterize this kind of music is a different style of singing, just as French music is vastly different from German music, for instance. It's another style.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a different vocal production, and that's a more complex issue.
Right, and we can talk a little bit about that later after we hear some of that vocal production in live performance. Fred Hirsch, you also have straddled both the jazz and the classical worlds as a pianist, but also as a composer. Did this feel like a kind of a natural meeting?
Well, it's funny. Renee and I actually formally met at the Village Vanguard. I was playing there, and Renee came down one night through mutual friends, and I discovered quite pleasantly that she'd been following my career and listening to my music.
Mm-hmm.
I love the sound of the voice. As you know, I'm very passionate about words and about singing and storytelling. From the first time that we played together just in my living room, you know, it's been a very easy fit in terms of our instincts. And we have a very nice collaboration.
Right.
That's how I would characterize it.
Definitely.
Renee, the last time you were here, you told me that jazz singing was dangerous. What did you mean by that? Is it dangerous just from a kind of career perception view, or is there actually something in, as you were saying before, the kind of vocal production, the different voice that makes it dangerous.
Well,
somehow.
I think it's mainly dangerous and from a more of a career point of view. And, no one ever wants to be construed as trying to be all things to all people. And I already have a very broad repertoire. I'm not a specialist, so there's a danger in that. However, having said that, this is so relaxing and so easy compared with singing opera vocally. I'm talking vocally, not stylistically.
Right.
Stylistically, of course, it's very demanding. But on a pure physical and physiological level, it's a joy. I can wake up, I can get out of bed in the morning and sing a jazz tune and sing a tune like this. In fact, it's better because my voice is about a fifth lower. To sing opera, I have to really go into high gear and get things going and warm up and, suffer and worry and it's tight wire acting. It's athleticism for the voice. It's a completely different kind of technique.
All right, well, Renee and Fred, the title of the new album is Haunted Heart. Can you do a live version of that song for us here in the studio?
I think we could do that.
Soprano Renee Fleming and pianist Fred Hirsch performing Haunted Heart, a song by Howard Dietz and Arthur Schwartz.
Without you. lost. It's you who must belong to me. I'm thrilled, my haunted heart. Be still, my haunted heart.
That was Renee Fleming singing the great old standard Haunted Heart by Howard Dietz and Arthur Schwartz. Renee, is this the kind of thing you listened to growing up?
Not really. My parents were both high school vocal music teachers, and so my mother performed a lot of opera as I was growing up. I got to, you know, sit in the third row and watch her sob through Swear Angelica because she was looking at us singing about the, you know, child who died. And my dad actually liked jazz. He listened to a lot of singing groups. So I heard, again, a great variety of music. And I came to jazz, actually, believe it or not, through the Billie Holiday film, Lady Sings the Blues. I went out and bought the book and taught myself all the songs, and that's how I ended up kind of pursuing this once I got to college.
Lady sings the blues. She tells her sad, nothing to hide. Now the world will know just what her blues is all about. The blues ain't nothing but a pain in your heart.
So this biopic, Renee Fleming, this biopic that starred Diana Ross, this was your introduction to jazz singing?
Yes, as I recall. I mean, you know, I'm sure my father would sit there and say, no, I played 1,500 records for you. But that's what I remember striking me like lightning.
So I guess in a sense it was the road to operatic fame that was sort of the surprise. When you went to college, did you think you were going to go and study music and become a jazz singer?
Well, it's funny because music was so much a part of my life that the way to make it my own, because you know, most singers tell a story of when they discovered their voice in opera, and it was very much theirs. I never felt that music was mine. I felt like it was my family's, and I was, of course, you know, in the, on the track. So it became my own when I started composing music and when I learned to play the guitar and wrote a lot of music all through my adolescence and into my early 20s. And then finally discovering jazz, which made me immensely popular. So who isn't going to love it? I mean, as a very shy, I mean, extremely shy young woman, I blossomed quite a bit through those 4 years of experiencing this music. And I wanted to continue.
Yeah, where did you go to school?
This was Potsdam State University. This is part of the SUNY system, State University of New York system. So fabulous education. Yeah.
So we actually have a clip of you. is this from, you know, some school event, or we're going to hear a little bit of you singing "I'll Be Seeing You"?
You know, this is from when I was at Eastman. This particular track. This is graduate school.
Okay, this is Renee Fleming.
In all the old familiar places, with this heart of mine embraces.
So this is a recording of you, Renee Fleming, from grad school days at Eastman.
Yeah, it was the arranger's holiday.
Okay.
I went in and did two tracks for an arranger, and that was the end of jazz singing for me. This was it.
Really?
Yeah, last time I ever sang jazz until now.
Until now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about, what, early 80s here?
81.
81.
Mm-hmm.
So in college at SUNY Potsdam, you sang with this trio.
Right.
You mentioned you also composed, so you were kind of a singer, songwriter, what, folky?
Yeah, a little bit of both.
Yeah.
The Joni Mitchell influence was very strong in those days.
Mm-hmm.
But I was singing jazz as well. I mean, a very well-rounded education, I might say.
Yeah. And a lot of time on stage, which for,
yes,
you know, a self-described shy young girl
was,
I guess, an invaluable experience.
I wouldn't be here, I don't think, without it.
Well, we do have a tape of one of those performances, too. This is a never-before-heard recording of Renee Fleming on a Sunday night back in 1981, singing with a quartet that included Larry Hamm on piano, Jay Friedman on trumpet, and Pat O'Leary on bass. Fleming recorded at Alger's Pub. You remember this place,
oh,
Renee?
Oh, very well. Those were high G's, by the way. I mean, I don't know how I did that. Oh.
Could you do that now, do you think?
I am not sure. It's not something you try every day. I just sang a low G. That's three octaves, I think, yeah.
As long as we're on the subject of college, let's talk about a singer that it seems every college student loves, and that's Joni Mitchell.
Songs are tattoos, you know, I've been to see before. Crown and anchor me, or let me sail away.
Renee, you talked about in college learning to play the guitar and writing your own kind of folk songs in the Joni Mitchell style.
Right.
So she was obviously a big, a formative influence on you.
Huge influence. Mm-hmm. I just met her recently, too. Oh, my God, that was exciting.
Yeah.
I almost never wanted to meet her because I really felt that if she in any way wasn't kind of, you know, accepting or nice, that I would have to have a nervous breakdown. So, but it happened, and she was terrific.
Yeah, harmonically, for me, you know, when you consider what people were writing in those days, you know, it was a lot of, you know, three chord, you know.
Sure.
And I heard this record, Blue, with these kind of suspended piano harmonies, and I thought, what is that? I had to go sit and figure them out long before I heard jazz. But it was a real challenge to my ear, you know, to kind of wake up my ear to different sorts of harmony.
So you were ready when the time came to make this recording of the song.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's hear a live performance of one of Joni Mitchell's most famous songs. This is River from her album Blue, but performed by soprano Renee Fleming and pianist Fred Hirsch.
It's coming on Christmas. They're cutting down trees. They're putting up reindeer and singing songs of joy and peace. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. But it don't snow here, it stays pretty green. I'm gonna make a lot of money, then I'm gonna quit this crazy scene. wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long I would teach my feet to and I'm sad. Now I've gone and lost the best baby that I ever had. I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long
Beautifully done. That was Renee Fleming and Fred Hirsch performing a really touching version of Joni Mitchell's song River. Renee, what did performing in jazz clubs teach you about relating to an audience?
Well, it's everything, really everything. I mean, it was the basis for my education of how to perform. I mean, this was a difficult performance situation because it was the same audience every weekend. So it wasn't enough to get up and perform. I had to entertain a little bit and talk and develop a bit of a personality, and something that I do now in recital all the time. And it took me another many, many years to kind of bring that back into the, and to become comfortable enough on stage in recital to begin to enable my personality to come through.
Mm.
It's so much about, simply telling jokes. I mean, I've teased Pat O'Leary, the bass player, ever since about the fact that he used to just poke me in the back and say something, be funny.
Well, now that's a good way to get somebody who's a little stage frightened to open
trial
up.
Trial by fire, yeah.
Be funny. Well, we are speaking with both Renee Fleming and Fred Hirsch, and in a moment we'll hear some more live music here in our studio. I'm John Schaefer. You're listening to a special edition of Soundcheck, The Heart of Song, Renee Fleming with Fred Hirsch from WNYC Radio and Chart Media. Stay with us. You're listening to a special edition of Soundcheck, The Heart of Song, Renee Fleming with Fred Hirsch, a collaboration of WNYC Radio and Chart Media. I'm John Schaefer. Now, last time we spoke, Renee, you had just reunited with Illinois Jacquet, the great tenor sax player. And I guess that was the first time that you and he had been together since you were in college, right?
Right. I mean, no, that's not true. I would see him from time to time, but we never had an opportunity to really perform together like that, and certainly not in such an intimate setting.
Right. Now, Illinois was not just a great jazz player. I mean, there's a whole school of R&B sax playing that basically comes from him. So this is a guy who knew his business, knew great music when he heard it, and he had this to say about the first time he heard you.
They had a little jam session, and Larry said, I'd like for you to hear our singer. Oh, I said, you have a singer? And they started playing, and she sang, You Change. And I have not heard anything better than that since.
Illinois Jacquet, he died last year. Renee, what did he mean for you in your music career?
Well, he, in a sense, validated me singing this repertoire. I mean, even trying to do this project right now. Because we maintained a bond all those years as a result of that experience, I didn't actually have the courage to pursue this at that time. I was too young, too afraid to move into that world, which spelled a real freedom to me. I was much more comfortable in an academic environment, so I went to graduate school instead. Mm-hmm. I have to say, first of all, I loved his playing, and I loved his personage, his persona. And so I can't think of any better vote of confidence than something coming from Illinois Jacquet.
He actually asked you to go on the road with him, didn't he?
Yeah, he suggested that I really do this. And, you know, at 21 or 20, I just said, yeah, I'm going to go to graduate school.
Well, it turned out to be a great decision. The funny thing is that through all the years and all the changes, the song that Illinois Jacquet mentioned in that little clip has stayed with you, the song You've Changed.
Yes, yes.
You did it with him here in the studio. It's on the new record. What is it about that song?
Well, it was that song and Over the Rainbow, which were my sort of best pieces from those couple of years that I really sang every weekend. And so even more Over the Rainbow, which I still do, but much more in an operatic voice. I purposefully didn't put it on the CD because a lot of people have already heard it. And but You've Changed, I just love.
The late, great Illinois Jacquet playing saxophone, Renee Fleming singing. Larry Ham was at the piano that afternoon, and Renee, the thing I remember most about that was not Illinois saying, I messed it up, at the end, but the fact that the three of you were basically working out these arrangements on the fly.
Yeah, this was very improvised.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, here you are, Fred Hirsch here as well, and Fred, these arrangements seem to be a bit more settled.
Yeah. To me, one of the big differences between singing or playing classical music and what we're doing here is, for us, the notes and the chord changes and the notes of the melodies and rhythms are just a guide. They're just a jumping off point. Mm-hmm. Nothing really has to be set in stone the way a classical song recital might be.
Is Haunted Heart a jazz record?
I think when you say, okay, for instance, even the definition of jazz singing, You know, does that mean Louis Armstrong and Billie Holiday? Does that mean early Rosemary Clooney to some people? It's a very loose, it's a wiggly sort of a thing.
Yeah, good point. There are some purists who claim Ella Fitzgerald isn't a jazz singer.
Well, she found something that worked and she stuck with it.
Right.
Carmen McRae or Betty Carter or Billie Holiday let it hang out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was never the same. Sarah Vaughan never sang anything the same way twice.
Let's hear a little Sarah Vaughan. This is her singing the George and Ira Gershwin classic, Embraceable You.
Embrace me, you irreplaceable you. Just one look at you. Gypsy in me.
That's a bit of Embraceable You, sung by Sarah Vaughan. And this is The Heart of Song, an hour of conversation with and live performances by soprano Renee Fleming and pianist Fred Hirsch. I'm John Schaefer. Renee, you've picked another standard for us out of the Great American Songbook. You want to do a live performance for us here in the studio?
I think we could do that.
Love for sale, appetizing young love for sale, love that's fresh and still unspoiled, love that's only slightly soiled, love for sale. Who will buy? Who would like to sample my supply? Who's prepared to pay the price for a trip to paradise? Love for sale. Let the poet's pipe of love, in that childish way, I know every type of love better far than they. If you want the thrill of love, I've been through the mill of love. Old love, new love, every love but true love. Love for sale, appetizing a young love for sale. If you want to buy my wares, follow me and climb the stairs. Love for far than they. If you want the thrill of love, I've been through the mill of love. Oh, love, new love, every love but true love. Love for sale. Oh, appetizing young love for sale. If you want to buy my wares, follow me. Love for sale. La, 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 la.
Renee Fleming sings, Fred Hirsch plays our piano, it's Cole Porter's Love for Sale. So, Renee, Fred was talking before about singers who would find something that worked for them and then perform it that way all the time, as opposed to others who were always letting it hang out. When you do Love for Sale, will it always be like that, especially at the end?
But that's why I enjoy this so much, because the rigors and the discipline required in classical singing, which the goal in classical singing is to be very true to the written page, to what the composer intended, as true as is humanly possible. There's very little room for a creative input from the artist. I mean, we interpret. Mm-hmm. So there's a little room, but not a lot of room. The beauty of this is that within reason, anything goes. And so it's fun for me to kind of let my hair down. And yeah, that was totally improvised. And we didn't even decide how we would end it.
Right. With two people like me and Renee, there's not too much that's going to go too far wrong. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to get seriously injured. You know, we can sort of...
No musicians were harmed in the making of this music.
Exactly. We can
Famous
afford
last
to...
last words?
Yes. You know, the key of Z all of a sudden. But no, in general, we don't have to set everything in stone. We just, you know, we go with our instincts.
Feel it.
And yeah, exactly. And it's lots of fun that way.
Well, now, both of you were talking about the mood of the album, Haunted Heart. And one of the moodiest guitarists that I know of anywhere in any style is Bill Frisell, who creates these sort of ambient soundscapes with his electric guitar. Had either of you worked with Bill before this?
Well, we did a duo album for Nonesuch in the late 90s called Songs We Know, which was literally in the studio. He came in with a list of tunes, and we said, okay, this one, and I would just start it, and, you know, it was literally almost like a jam session as a duo. And what's interesting, and even though Bill and I had never really played together, you know, people don't really realize that Jim Hall is a huge influence on Bill Frisell.
Great jazz guitarist.
Exactly. And Jim is such a purist in terms of his sound, but in terms of space, phrasing, note choice, Bill sounds like Jim Hall, but maybe, you know, on acid, you know, just, you know, with his incredible palette of colors. He doesn't have to play a lot of notes.
I came to his recordings, to be honest with you, I don't know if someone recommended him to me or if I was just, you know, internet surfing and found him. But the thing I loved most about his recordings were the folk, bluegrass, country influence and some. His ability to cross genres and maintain his own unique point of view is unparalleled, I think. When he agreed to do this recording, I said, can you think of a tune we could do together that brings those elements together? So he recommended Stephen Foster's Hard Times and wrote out a harmonic underpinning, which is so beautiful and haunting. There's that word again. And it's very different than anything else on the recording, but I love his playing.
It's a great song, and it's a great version of the song, Stephen Foster's Hard Times Come Again No More.
Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Come again no more. There's a pale drooping maiden who toils her life away with a worn heart whose better days are o'er.
Stephen Foster's Hard Times Come Again No More. It's a song that has really enjoyed a kind of renewed popularity in recent years. Renee, it seems to resonate with people once again 150 years after it was written, and resonates with you, obviously, and with guitarist Bill Frisell and pianist Fred Hirsch.
Yes, yes. It's a beautiful song.
Now, we mentioned Billie Holiday before. The Billie Holiday biopic back in the 70s was a real inspirational moment for you. Who were some of the other jazz singers, once you got into it, that really kind of spoke to you?
Well, Sarah Vaughan was the biggie. And for a long time, I mean, you know, my claim to fame is that she actually had to yell at me in a live concert for shouting out so many requests. So I can now say, she spoke to me. And I listened to everybody. Betty Carter I heard live. I heard Flora Purim live. I loved all of these great singers. Shirley Horn was my next real favorite. I love Kurt Elling today. Just such an intelligent, beautiful singer. And I'm a real aficionado of singing. Mm-hmm. Of all different kinds of styles.
What is it about someone like this singer, Shirley Horn? What is it that you listen for that really makes her or some of these other singers stand out from the crowd?
Well, the interesting thing about her is I heard her live a couple of times in San Francisco, and she would come on stage, sit down at the piano, never move, and spin out the most erotic world I'd ever heard in music. I mean, just through this, you know, she still does it. Mm-hmm. It's just, she's incredible. It's a simplicity, it's a beauty of the sound. You understand every word. There's no extraneous singing. But it's really the way she, with her piano playing, she builds these long, beautiful climaxes. It's just...
Somebody once said that she plays tempos so slow that you can go out and get a cup of coffee between beats one and two.
Yeah.
I don't know how her trio of many years has that figured out. Things are the slowest tempos.
Right.
But she's such a great actress.
And one thinks of, you know, I mean, this is a horrible stereotype, but, you know, of men kind of virtuosically playing thousands of notes in a bar. And her thing is very feminine, I think.
How Long Has This Been Going On is the name of this song from Shirley Horn.
There were chills up my spine. And some thrills I can't define. Listen, sweet. I repeat. How long has this been going on?
That's good stuff. Shirley Horn singing How Long Has This Been Going On? More good stuff from soprano Renee Fleming and pianist Fred Hirsch will be coming our way in just a moment. You're listening to a special edition of Soundcheck, The Heart of Song, Renee Fleming with Fred Hirsch, a collaboration of WNYC Radio and Sharp Media. I'm John Schaefer. Stay with us. You're listening to a special edition of Soundcheck, The Heart of Song, Renee Fleming with Fred Hirsch from WNYC Radio and Sharp Media. I'm John Schaefer. Renee, when I don't know how much you get to sing these songs these days, but when you are singing them, do you ever find, especially if you're hitting one of the higher notes, that suddenly the voice starts coming, you know, the one that opera fans around the world are familiar with, that it starts to sort of creep in somehow?
Well, it's been very interesting because as I've played bits and pieces of this for people along, for the most part, they haven't known who it was, you know. It would take one note to make them say, oh, my God, is that you? So, yeah, but I try to keep that element out of it because, you know, you don't want really the two things to mix. They're quite different.
Well, they're two completely different styles of music. And this is clearly a lower range.
Well, we purposefully sought out very low keys for this music because otherwise it's very easy to kind of slip into that other thing, which is what I do in recital. If I sing an Ellington tune at the end of a recital, it's still in my high voice. I can't switch gears that easily once I've been singing high.
Right.
So, and this is altogether different.
In putting this album together, there were obviously choices to be made, musicians to work with, songs to choose, arrangements, keys, and all that sort of thing.
Right.
And it seems like, from what you've both been saying, that you really wanted to leave some space in the album, you know, whether that's kind of harmonic space or a sense of leaving the listener room to come in.
It allows this different sound of Renee's to shine. If we had done something, say, with a trio and, you know, a typical jazz, you know, piano, bass, drums and singer thing, I don't think it might have been quite as personal.
Hmm. Yeah, intimacy is really the key. It's a very intimate recording.
And we sort of, you know, went with our core repertoire from the concert we did a couple of years ago mm-hmm. and then added and expanded and things came in and we recorded a few things that didn't make the final cut of the album just because those decisions were, you know, were made. We couldn't put everything
right.
in
no.
there.
I right. like to record a lot of extra things and then decide later. This right. is sort of a way I prefer.
So what were some of the choices that you had to make when you recorded When Did You Leave Heaven?
Fred and I don't actually play this on the recording together. This is a song I do with Bill Frisell. But it's just a delight. I didn't know the song, actually. A friend of mine pointed it out to me on another recording last summer when I was in the south of France. Boy, that sounded good. I like saying that. Yeah, 3 days. And I just said, I'm crazy about the words to this tune. So it's new for me. It's a new one.
Where is it from?
It's Richard Whiting. It's from the 20s.
Mm.
Is it?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those, what we used to call $50 tunes. You know, it's an old, like a Harry Warren tune or something.
Okay.
It's very sweet. I really enjoy it.
Good for good. Thank you for that save. Thank you so much, Fred.
So that's why I make the big money.
So on the record, it's Renee, it's you and Bill Frisell.
Right.
But here live in our studio, it's Fred Hirsch at the piano. And let's hear, When Did You Leave Heaven? Renee Fleming and Fred Hirsch, once again, live in our WNYC studio.
When did you leave heaven? How could they let you go? How's everything in heaven? Why did you trade heaven for all these earthly things? Where did you hide your halo? Where did you lose your wings? Have they missed you? Can you get back in if I kissed you?
That's another live performance in our WNYC studio from Renee Fleming and Fred Hirsch. Fred at our piano. Renee, when you're singing in the shower, as you mentioned before, is it Rigoletto or Hound Dog?
A little bit of everything, you know. I mean, Mary Had a Little Lamb figures prominently. You have children, you know, all of it. They're teaching me about music now, all the people they listen to.
Uh-huh. So yeah. Now you're getting still a kind of a music education.
Absolutely.
Opera News, the magazine, referred to you as having, quote, a Napoleonic appetite for new challenges, which is...
I hadn't heard that one.
I guess that's impressive.
he conquers all.
Yeah, I just like that Napoleonic appetite phrase. That's good.
Right. She's shortish, you know.
Do you keep the one hand always in the breast pocket?
You know, I mean, I'm
Have you ever
I'm
bitten
really...
off more than you can chew?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Not, I want to say kind of every other day, but I do like to do new things. I get very restless. I don't hold a candle to Placido Domingo in the hundreds of the new roles he takes on. But I enjoy variety in both the kinds of singing that I do, from opera to the concert stage to recital, and now this, of course. And I enjoy exploring new repertoire. Mm-hmm. A lot. I love new music, and I'm not the type of person who would be happy singing the same roles every year.
There is a final song that you're going to perform for us here, which is not on the record, and I have to confess I've never heard of this song at all, Petals on a Rose?
Yeah, Gene Shear, who's a friend of mine, wrote this piece, both the text and the music, which Fred beautifully arranges, and I've always liked this piece. We didn't put it on the record because I had a really horrendous cold the day we did this, and it wasn't good enough from my point of view, but that's why it's nice to be able to do it for you and for the audience so people can hear it, because it's a great tune.
All right, Petals on a Rose by Gene Shear, live performance by Renee Fleming and Fred Hirsch at the piano.
Straighten out the river's bed.
Renee Fleming and Fred Hirsch offering us a splendid performance of Petals on a Rose by Gene Shear. Are you going to have a chance to do a little more of this? Will there
be? We'll see. I would love to revisit this repertoire more often and have it be kind of a fun thing that I do from time to time. I mean, I don't have any plans to sort of switch gears and stop my fabulous day job. I mean,
right.
I'm going to keep that. But this is a real joy for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it took, almost 20 years. You know, there was that interregnum between you singing jazz as a student and now. I'm guessing you don't want to wait another 20 years before you do this sort of thing again.
Well, in another 20 years, this might be the only voice I have left. So it's a possibility.
So can we look forward to, Renee Fleming sings the Wu-Tang Clan 20 years from now? Renee Fleming, Fred Hirsch. The album is called Haunted Heart. It really does set and then maintain a very special mood, and it's been great fun having both of you here in the studio today.
Thank you.
This edition of Soundcheck, The Heart of Song, Renee Fleming with Fred Hirsch, has been a collaboration of WNYC Radio and Chart Media. WNYC's technical director is Irene Crudell. The producers are Allison Lichter and Brian Wise. Chris Bannon and Elena Park are the executive producers. Sue Chart is the executive producer for Chart Media. Thanks to Michael Elsesser, Edward Haber, Jack Straw Productions, and to Ed Fleming for providing archival material. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for joining us.
Be still, my haunted heart.
Today at 3 o'clock, Terry Gross has Fresh Air from National Public Radio. You can count on Terry for an hour of lively conversation with artists and newsmakers of all stripes. Terry Gross with Fresh Air each weekday at 3:00.